Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning when we were praying for the service, I asked this question to the prayer team when we were in the garage. And I asked them, when your body starts to break down, the medicines you've tried is not helping any. I know you call on Jesus, but what's the next thing? You call a doctor, and you want to go get examined, don't you? And so one of the things you're calling the doctor is that you want to be healed. Whatever the ailment is. And many of us get plagued every now and then with an ailment and an affliction. Well, we're going to see in today's message that there's a huge, gigantic affliction that's on the land. The land that we live in. The ground that we walk on. And we're going to look in Scripture to see how God will cure the land. But there are some things that He does that humans don't like. And we're going to see in Scripture how He had to deal with ancient Israel. Israel was called by name to be the representatives of God Almighty on earth. He chose them. He raised them up. He gave them the law. He gave them priests and Levites. He gave them psalmists. He gave them leaders. But one of the things that they always fell into was sin. They would always rebel and turn away from God. And God would have to go back to them time and time again, pleaded with them to turn to Him, to turn to Him, to turn back to Him. And then the inevitable takes place. God says enough. So the first time, they went into captivity. And the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple and took them all into captivity for 70 years. 70 years. In prison, captured by an alien country that was far away from them. God raised them up to go and capture them and destroy them. Why? Because of their rebellion. And there were many things we're going to cover that's going to prove what they did. And then the second time, when the Romans came and destroyed them, and then they were scattered from that moment on for thousands of years until 1948, when God said, okay, I'm going to bring you back into a nation one more time. And since 1948, the time has been ticking now. And so we're going to get to our board right now, and we're going to get into this message. Amen. And so here we go. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position, please. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Heal Our Land. Jesus, Heal Our Land. And we're going to see in Scripture what God had to do in order to get the attention. And we're going to look at some current events that will solidify what I'm saying here today. That this is not just what Pastor Fee thinks. but it's what's taking place in this nation as we speak. And what it boils down to is the church needs to wake up. We're the only voice in the country, in the land, that has a voice to wake up people. Can I get an amen? The world's not going to wake up. So let's go to the Word of God. Let's see how God dealt with ancient Israel, and then we'll bring it current to our day and time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 12 through 22, and here we go. Then the Lord answered to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So he basically wants his house to be a place of prayer and sacrifice. But look what he says here. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Before we go to 14, he's talking about if they turn away from the ordinances of God. Because this is why he says in verse 14, if my people, say that with me, if my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. Notice, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their what? The land. The land. The land is afflicted? Yes. And we're going to see what afflicts the land, because the land is crying out. When God talks about the land, when it gets down to the land, that's basically the last and final straw before judgment comes. And we're going to see this in Scripture. Look at verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Verse 17. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked. Now he's speaking to Solomon now, David's son. And do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall never fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. Verse 19. But if you turn away, But if you turn away, say that with me. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods, little gods, and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land. There's the land again, which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Meaning, I will get rid of you and get you off my land. Wow. He says, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. Look at verse 21. As for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all the calamity on them. And so in the Bible, saints of God, we're going to look at sins against the land, also known as defiling the land. The land that we are sitting on, standing on right now. God gave us this land. We're the only country other than Israel that God made a covenant with our forefathers, the ones that came and prayed and fell on their face when they got here by ship. They dedicated it to the Lord. It's all in the, I hope they didn't erase those in our history books. But it's there. So Israel and the United States were the only two that God raised up these two nations and made a covenant with God. And the fatherly land primarily is tied to actions that violate God's laws and his moral standards. And so we're going to look at these particular sins as causing spiritual and even physical corruption within the land and could lead to consequences like expulsion from the land itself. Do you understand what the word expulsion means? That means removing you from the land. In other words, scooping you out and taking you away. Just imagine if Russia and China overwhelmed us and took us out of here and set us in their camps. Would you remember God then? That'd be horrible. Some people would want to die. Just kill me now. Well, we're going to look at this right up here. Number one, we're going to look at the things that made God angry and what makes God angry today. Because Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. If he got angry back then, don't you think he'll get angry today? And so, we need to look at idolatry and false worship. Worshipping other gods or engaging in practices associated with foreign religions. Did you know we're a nation of many immigrants? Can I? We know that, right? But what happened in the last 150 years? All the nations that have come here to this country has brought their gods. Drive down El Cajon Boulevard. Drive down University Avenue. And what are in the windows? Idols. Little Buddha with fruit and money in the bowl. That's just one form of God. And many of them brought them. The Muslims brought Allah. The Hindus brought Confucius. The Chinese brought Confucius. The Romans brought the paganism, Catholicism, which we all know is false worship. No one worships the idols of statue. And Mary is not someone that you worship. It's all here. All these entities are here. All these gods have infiltrated this country. It's no longer a Christian nation. When they removed the Bible out of the schools in 1962, it all went downhill from that point. They removed the Word of God. They removed prayer. And within 10 years, after 1962, when they removed the Bibles, it just only took 10 years, and then the flower children arose up. Remember them? And they weren't the Partridge Family. It was worse. And then some of the idolatry back then, which is also today, is sacrificing children to Moloch or other pagan deities, consulting with mediums and spiritualists, and engaging in divination. It's here. But here's a believe it or not, this is the biggest idol now in America. It's right up here. A couple of weeks ago, we went to Tacos El Franc right there in Plaza Bonita. And right after, she goes, honey, goes, let's go to Macy's. I want to see a certain shirt that I saw. So we're walking, you know, inside the mall. And you know how you could look at the windows of the shops? There was people like this. And they were changing, going through the racks. They could not move away from that phone. Look at this one.
Yep, that's it right there.
This is their God. This is America's God right now. That phone. That phone. Here's another one. The phone. So let's look at another issue with that God has. Is number two, sexual immorality. And that includes incest, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, transgenders, and other forms of sexual activity that violate God's laws. I asked my brother the other day, and he confirmed with me, because he's mentioned that many times, what's the number one crime in San Diego that's coming across into our country through the tunnels? Sex trafficking. These wealthy people that live in Simi Valley, and a lot of them are political leaders as well that got deep pockets, are the ones paying for these young women and paying for them to come across the border, and they are having sex with little boys and little girls because they're out of their mind. You know, the Bible, there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. Remember, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. We need money for, we need it for current commerce. You need food at Walmart, you better have some money in your account. We need it to exist. But there is tremendous idolatry on our land. Our land. I just showed you a little form of it. But if this doesn't get you upset and pray and seek God's face, then I don't know what will turn your stomach. Is this right up here? Transgenders teaching our children in school. Public school. DEI. This is DEI. Do you know what DEI is? Diversity. Equity and inclusion. That's what that is. Here's another one. I know this message is not going to go well with some folks. Some people don't even care if this is happening. You can turn me off on Facebook, YouTube. I don't care. But guess what? This is an abomination of God. Can I get amen? An abomination. When you have to mutilate children at the age of 5 and 6 just because they told their mom and dad, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. Oh, we'll get this done. And these hospitals have opened up the floodgates. These, you know why they do that? Because that child will need a doctor the rest of their life. It's all about this. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. We look at our third point, and that's broken covenants. Violating agreements with God or others, particularly those related to the land. Disregarding the promises and responsibilities associated with inhabiting the promised land. How many believe that God honors marriage? I shared that because for us it's been 29 years and we've been so very blessed. But look at the chart that I found here. The conservative Protestant is divorcing in the church the same rate as the non-religious over there. So there's just as much divorce in the church. Because the world does that all the time. Lord, help us. We're destroying the covenant. Listen, when God made a covenant with the church, He betrothed us. Why would you want to trade in your spouse for another? How would you like God to say, I'm done with you? I'm done. I'm sorry, I'm done with you. But it's like that. Covenant's broken all day long. And that should never be. I'm only saying this because it's happening in the church. I don't care what the world does. We have no, you know what? Hopefully they get right with God and they'll repent and get saved. But I'm talking about saved folk. It's a defilement on the land. Because God shed His blood for the church. And we're His bride now. And He looks at marriage as holy. It's a covenant. It should be holy and sanctified, set apart for Him. And this is why you need to treat your spouse with the utmost care and respect and love and look at it as a model. Your marriage should be a model of Christ in the church. Can I get amen? Amen. You should be loving one another, not harassing one another, belittling one another, correcting one another all the time. Then your marriage will be like a dagger. It's strife all day long. And we talked about that on Wednesday. It's like, if you have a bickering wife, it's like a man would rather live in the forest with a bear. Or would rather, what brother did you say? I'd rather live on go on the rooftop with a bickering wife. Well, you know what? There's some brothers that do that too. You're not going to get off, brothers. So these are the surface things. Now we got to get deeper, because now we got to look at the true defilement of this land. And that's this right up here. Innocent bloodshed. Murder, violence, especially when directed towards innocent people. Who can recall the first murder? Cain and Abel. Walk back with me to Ancient of Days and let's look at it. Genesis 4:8, here we go. Genesis 4:8, look at this. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Rose up. Instead of just having, they could have just talked it through. You know how much hostility and anger and hate that was in his heart? Look at verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, hey, where's Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Look how ornery that remark was. And he said, what have you done? the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from what? The ground. The land. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Wow. Blood that was spilt on the land. And so this includes, saints of God, shedding of innocent blood on the land. And as it keeps counting, I know Trump is trying, he tried his best to eliminate it, but you're not going to eliminate abortion. There's so many people in this nation that just have that bloodthirstiness to kill babies. It's just in them. And they're monsters. And God's going to deal with them harshly on the day of judgment. But these are still around. Look. They're still in full operation. Every city has one of these. So in the city of San Diego, there's at least, I'm going to say 15. In every sub-city. A sub-city is like La Mesa, Chula Vista, Lemon Grove. That's a sub-city. And then the big city is San Diego. And then the county is San Diego. Then you got county. You got North County. You got South County. You got East County. You got the Bay, the beach areas. And they all have these guys. Saints, what we don't want to take place with us is what God had to do with Israel. Is that he had to take them into captivity. And let's look at other abominations, because there are. There's many on the land. Practices that are considered detestable or abhorrent by God, such as sorcery and casting spells. You ever seen this in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All over.
There's one right next door to this little coffee shop on 3rd Avenue in Chula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The little coffee shop's called Galoo. Really good coffee place, and they have good food, you know, little snack food there. But right next to it is a little Buddhist temple, and it says psychic will read your card today. And people would rather flock to that than to open up the Word of God. They'd rather flock to that than come to a church that's anointed by God that will tell them what's coming. They don't have to go to the devil. They just have to come to God. Can I get an amen? See, any action that violates the moral and spiritual order which is established by God and comes against it, God has to deal with it. So, I want us to look where we're at right now. Before we go any further with this message, where do you believe we're at right now? I'm not talking morally. I'm talking about dispensationally. Just look at this. I want you to see this. Right here in Genesis 1 and 3, when Adam and Eve, God created them, this was the dispensation of innocence. They were innocent. They knew no sin. They never committed any sin. Okay? And then we just read, it went into the dispensation of conscience. In other words, they learned what was good and evil. And they learned how to kill. And that's when what? Cain killed Abel, right? So you're looking at the dispensation of conscience. So then, when Noah's day came and the flood took place, God says, I need to govern them. We need to create governments for them. There wasn't a king yet. There wasn't a ruler yet. But they needed to be governed. The law hadn't come yet. So that's when human government was established around the world during that time, after the flood. Then, after the flood, then Noah and the offsprings, they were populating the world again. Then we went into a dispensation of promise. That's where the promise that the Messiah would come through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then through that lineage, Moses was raised up. Then came the dispensation of law. This is why we have a court system. This is why we have laws of the land. This is why we have laws around the world. It was established by God, but the first one to bring the law was Moses. And you're teaching us that right now in Exodus. Where are we now? We're in the dispensation of grace. We're at the very end now. And guess what the next greatest event is going to happen right after the church grace? It's the 7-year tribulation. And we're seeing the birth pains.
Yes, we are.
What I'm showing you right now are birth pains. We're not in the tribulation yet. But when the tribulation hits, it's going to be basically hell on earth. You don't want to be here during the tribulation. And so, our hope, you see right there, the little arrow coming down? Right there before the tribulation starts is the rapture.
That's right.
Woo-hoo. Guess what? It might be this September. Every year, what do I always say? It could be this. It could be. We're still here. You, come on. Let's look at this. They say, hey, he could come any day. We're still here every day. He's going to come on the feast day. He's going to come on the feast of trumpets. So if he don't come this feast, he's given us another year. To plow in the harvest. But I believe, I feel in my spirit, September 23rd, September 24th is the next Feast of Trumpets next month. And man, as soon as it hits Israel time, which is always like around 8:30 in the morning, it's sunset over there, I'm going to be in the patio with Chikuru blowing the shofar. He goes out there. We go. I go, Rue, this might be it, Rue. But let me just say, it's going to be as fast as the twinkling of an eye. If it's going to be this feast, it's going to take us, and then the tribulation is going to kick in. Why do I feel the tribulation is around the corner? I'm going to show you something that none of you probably even saw or heard yet. But let's go to the Word of God. Because after the 7-year tribulation, real quick, let me just finish that off. The rapture is going to take us into heaven. We're going to be with them for 7 years celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to also witness the coronation of the King, where his Father is going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And then all of us are coming back to the earth, and God's going to set up his kingdom on earth, and we're going to be on earth for 1,000 years. There's not going to be no wars. There's not going to be no pain. There's not going to be no sorrow. For 1,000 years on this earth. Then after the 1,000 years is over, we're going to go right into eternity. He's going to make a whole new heaven and earth. We're there. We're right there. We're the generation that's going to see him. Should that excite you? Or you said, no, man, don't come yet. No, man, no. My team hasn't won the Super Bowl yet. No, I got kids in sports. No. I want to see them graduate. No, don't come yet. Your heart should say, God, I love you, but I want to see you, Jesus. Can I get amen? I want to see you, Jesus. Because whatever suffering you go through now, he's going to remove it. Unless you like your diabetes body. If you like that body, keep it. I want the new one. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Uncle, you just turned 90, didn't you? If he comes in September, he didn't let you experience physical death.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Woo! Because you're going to go with us. The dead in Christ. We'll see. We'll see Auntie go first. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, let's look at this for a moment. Let's go back to the Word of God, and then I'm going to bring us current again. Because I believe we're at the brink. Can I get amen? So, let's go to Leviticus 18. And it reads, "Do not defile yourselves with any of these things. For by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled. Therefore I will visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it. And the land vomits out the inhabitants." Wow. The land throws the people off it. Look at this. "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you." In layman's terms, the land will barf you out. You'll be calling Earl on the porcelain commode, the porcelain throne. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Earl.
Yeah.
Calling Earl. My. So according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, defiling the land through sin and disobedience to God's commandments brings forth various types of punishments. Various types. Let's look at some of these right now. Let's look at these. Number one, expulsion from the land. Expulsion means being removed from it. And the most prominent consequence mentioned is the land itself, as we just read in Leviticus, vomiting out its inhabitants, resulting in expulsion or exile, according to the Bible. Israel went into 70 years of captivity by the conquering Babylonians. They came and destroyed their temple and took them all into captivity. All of them, every one of them. A couple of them survived around there, but the temple was fully destroyed. This was a place that God honored, that he blessed. What? He blessed them to have. And what did they do? They fell into idolatry. They were having sex orgies on there, on the temple. The Levites, the priests, they all turned to deviant sexual escapades. My. Those old gods were at work.
Yes.
Molech, Astaroth, and
Baal,
all of them. And then they didn't learn their first time. Let me ask you this. If you got a big, huge spanking from God, would that teach you a lesson? Huh? Wouldn't that teach you a lesson?
Yes.
If he gave you a big nalgada? It wouldn't be, right? But they didn't learn. So God had to destroy the temple again with the Romans. After all those years that went by, they went back and they backslid and went into idolatry again. They turned their face from God and went into idolatry. I tell you, God is long-suffering. Did you know that God's long-suffering with you? Did you know He's long-suffering with me? Oh, yes. The imagery of idolatry underscores, saints of God, the idea that the land cannot tolerate the unholy practices and will forcefully reject those who engage in them. You're asking God to remove you. And it's not a polite, oh, please get up. It's time to leave your seats now and follow me. Oh, no. Our enemies will come. And you'll be driven out by force. This was the fate of the Canaanites before the Israelites. And the Israelites were warned of the same consequences if they followed similar practices. So what happens? What happens when the nation turns? One of the things that takes place is this. Loss of divine favor and protection. Loss. Defiling the land leads to loss of God's blessings and protection, leaving the people vulnerable to various calamities. My uncle and cousins back from Texas, and they were asked, move to Houston, huh? Was it Houston? And what came to my mind right away was this photo, because that's Texas. God allowed that Christian camp to be flooded away. Wait a minute. These were Christians. And He allowed 120 little Christian girls to be swept away. You can't get mad at God. He's sovereign. And He's trying to wake the church. He's trying to wake up the church. Can I get amen? He's trying to wake us up. He's allowing these things right now today. Look at this. The devastation. God is removing His protection from our land because it's so entrenched in sin. Now I want to show you something. That I don't know if you heard yet. Maybe some of you. Or if you're watching the news, you know this. Trump moves nuclear submarines after Russian ex-president's comments. The comments were, Russia said, we will nuke you because you're putting tariffs on us and you're trying to stop us destroying Ukraine. Russia's on a mission to destroy Ukraine. That's their business. That's their war. Trump's trying to be the peacemaker and win the Nobel Peace Prize by trying to stop it. Medev said, you get in the way, we're going to nuke you. So then Trump sent two submarines, as we speak, on the coast of Russia. We're about ready to go into war, a nuclear war. And the church is asleep. It's asleep. We're about ready to go to war. Look at this. This study was in 2019. New study on U.S.-Russia nuclear war. 95 million casualties in the first few hours of a war. 34 million people could die and another 57 million could be injured within the first few hours of the start of a nuclear war with Russia. That's how devastating it will be. And our news won't tell us, so I got to get news clips from other places like BBC around the world. Look at this.
President Trump says he's ordered the deployment of two U.S. nuclear submarines to the appropriate regions in response to threats from the former Russian president Dmitry Medvedev. Both men have been taunting each other of late after the White House this week said Russia had 10 days to agree to a ceasefire in Ukraine or face tough sanctions. In response, Mr. Medvedev reminded him that Russia possessed nuclear strike capabilities. It's not clear exactly where Mr. Trump has ordered the submarines to be deployed. We'll have reaction from Moscow in a moment with Steve Rosenberg, but first, Gary O'Donohue is our top story from Washington.
In recent days, Donald Trump's rhetoric on Russia has turned up a notch.
Russia? I think it's disgusting what they're doing.
But rhetoric has now turned to action with the deployment of two nuclear submarines, not specifying when they were the kind that could carry nuclear warheads. He was responding to the words of the former Russian president Dmitry Medvedev, who accused the US president of playing the ultimatum game over threats to impose fresh sanctions on Russia next week if a ceasefire in Ukraine wasn't agreed. The former president said, "Each new ultimatum is a threat and a step towards war, not between Russia and Ukraine, but with his own country." In a post on Truth Social, Donald Trump said he was deploying the subs just in case these foolish and inflammatory statements are more than just that. Words are very important and can often lead to unintended consequences. I hope this will not be one of those instances.
Wow. Right as we speak, it could break out any moment now. All it takes is just one button. Here's my question. Because I should have showed you some news clips. A year and a half ago, Russia, for 6 months, their whole country went into drills. They all have bunkers. You know what? Where our bunker is? The Lord Jesus. That's it. We're open ducks. We're open prey. We have no shelter in place. We can't go into a bunker unless you've built one your own, on yourself. The rich have them. They have bunkers. And they're stocked with food and water. Yes, the survivalists do. But where's ours? All we got is Jesus. That's what I'm saying. This is the time to draw close.
Yes.
This is time to get right before God. This is the time to set aside our idols.
Right.
Or get left behind. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is time to get real.
Yep. Tell it.
We're about ready to have war with them. It won't last long. It won't be strikes to destroy each other's lands, but 97 million gone, it could be our coast. It could be right here.
Easily.
It could be anywhere. Gone. In a matter of moments. This is not to scare us. This is to draw us close to God. Can I get amen? Because God is removing divine protection from us. Slowly, it's eroding away because of all these abominations that take place in our land. And no one is saying anything about it. Environmental and agricultural decline. The land's defilement can also manifest in physical consequences like droughts, failed harvests, natural disasters, according to the Word of God. You remember this? This was last year. Where was that at? Palisades. That whole community was what? Gone. Gone. I won't put too much more on us. I know this is kind of tough already. But let's look at number, our third point. Spiritual and moral decay. The defilement of the land is also intertwined with a deeper spiritual and moral decline within society, highlighting the abominations that are now blatant before us. And it demands action from God. I thought I would never see this in my whole entire life as a pastor. And I wonder how Bishop Trout and the church that is in Atlanta feels about this church and what they're doing there in Atlanta. This is to let us know the time that we live in, saints. But this bishop here just renewed his vows to this man. Bishop O.C. Allen and husband Rashad Burgess renew vows. And this is an Atlanta church. And I should have showed you more photos, but the place was packed out. What quote-unquote Christian congregants. This is now accepted. How many believe this is an abomination?
Yes, it is.
It will always be an abomination. And here's the thing. These two, they can be saved. God doesn't hate them. He hates the sin. God hates the sin. He don't hate the people. He'll give them an opportunity to repent. We know a lot of people in that lifestyle. They just need to repent and get right or get left. There's no in between. But who would ever have thought that? How many believe that the Word of God is it's forever settled in heaven? How many believe that you cannot travel into the third heaven and amend any scriptures that's already written? If you can, let me know. We can't even make it to the moon, let alone get to the third heaven. The third heaven sits above the whole entire galaxy of the second heaven, where the stars, the moons, the satellites, the solar systems, they're trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and forever, trillions of light years ahead of us. So let's go to the Word, and we're coming in for a close. Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with the male as with the woman. It is what? An abomination. Look at this. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's clear with the law. Amen? Now, Pastor, we're in the New Testament now. Okay? Let's go to Romans. Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. What? Yes, that's right. That grievous sin is still grievous to God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Paul describes same-sex behavior as a departure from natural order and a consequence of turning away from God. The language of natural versus unnatural creates a deep internal conflict for individuals whose attractions feel entirely natural to them. These folks, I just showed you, it feels natural to them. Why? Because they have already turned from God. There's no more consciousness of God. There's no more conviction. They're drowned in a sea of lust. Help us, Jesus. I know this is a tough message because we have family involved in this lifestyle. And I pray for them all the time. But guess what? I've said this time and time again. The only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life, my life. And if we can't speak truth into their life, then who are we? The emotional impact is one of the feeling of disordered or fundamentally maligned with God's design. You know, big churches won't preach this. They don't want to lose congregants. They're more ashamed of that than to tell people the truth. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Say that with me. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. None of them will. But then there's good news for you and I. And such were some of you. See, every one of us was part of this, what we just described. A lot of us did a whole bunch of fornication, having sex without being married, before, I'm talking about our BC years, before Christ. Unfortunately, there's still some in the church that do this too. Look at this. But such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Come on, someone give God a shout. Hallelujah. You know what I love about God? He'll show you the error of your way, and then He'll show you remedy. Listen, when you want to go to the doctor, you want remedy. I'm coming to you, doctor, because I need remedy. I need to get well. I need to get well. I can't get well on my own. I don't know what's going on. Doc, can you help me? Well, Jesus has the remedy. Can I get amen? Amen. Boy, being included in such a list can feel deeply shaming and exclusionary, huh? Wow, being in that category. And so, as we come in for a close, my question is, what is the remedy? Take two aspirins and call me in the morning? What is the remedy? 10 laps around Sweetwater's football field? Give me 200 push-ups and I'll forget whatever you did. That ain't the remedy. I didn't know. Yeah. What is the remedy? Here's the remedy. Repentance. Nobody wants to talk about repentance no more. That means turn, turn, turn from that way, turn from that lifestyle, turn from that wicked way. Ask God to forgive you for that sin that sometimes we can't get away from. Let me just say this. There are some sins in our life that's tailor-made for you. What? Uh-huh. Because there's some sins in my life that don't affect you, and there's some sins in your life that would affect me. And yet, it's still a sin of God, and we're dealing with them. Because we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. The moment you think you're perfect, think again. And maybe you didn't commit the adultery, but you did in your mind. Well, as soon as she walked in, you did it in your mind already. Jesus, help us. And so what's the key? The key is to turn back to God. That's His message to this nation right now. needs to turn back to God. It's away from God. And all it is right now, the whole nation is like this. On that cell phone. That's their new God. So, we close with these scriptures. If my people, say that with me. If my people who are called by my name. Oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Man, he just rolled up on me right now. Jesus! If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We need our land healed. Look what Isaiah said, 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, even his thought life. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How many want to be pardoned by God? Look what Jeremiah wrote. Return, O faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. How many so blessed to know that? And in Acts 3, look at this. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who, I think, did I get the rest of it? Yes. No. I'm sorry, I didn't get the rest of that. I'll read it to you though. Who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Hallelujah. There's times of refreshing coming. And you know when those times are going to come? When he takes us out of here. We're going to be changed. And we're going to be like him. How many can't wait for that? How many can't wait? Because right here in Thessalonians, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Say this with me. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wow. How many can't wait for that? Woo! Let me read this part. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Amen. How many believe the rapture is coming? Amen. Oh yes. Oh yes. Don't let this happen right here. Watch. I'm going to get there right now. Oh, what happened? Here we go.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
That's always going to be the question, isn't it? Are you ready? So we want to give an opportunity right now to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you got startled with this video. Well, I'm here to let you know it should be not startling to you, but comforting, that if you are a child of God, you'll be gone that fast with Him. Like a twinkling of an eye. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to bow their hearts and their heads with me and pray this prayer of salvation, that you would pray it at home watching or wherever you're at. If you're watching this driving, pull over right now. I don't want you to close your eyes while you're driving. Just pull over and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Come on, is He worthy? Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.